Well, like I mentioned earlier, one of these days, there's going to be quite a dramatic event that's going to occur. And the Bible says it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. That's pretty quick. And then we'll be moving on to our heavenly home, and we'll have new bodies, like I believe Dr. Pete was sharing about. And you know, that's not to say that the human body isn't quite a miraculous thing in and of itself. But we're going to get a new body, and we've heard and been taught that it'll be unlimited in scope and activity. But we'll be taking up a new residence, you know what I mean? And so, I don't know about you, but can you remember the address of the house that you grew up in? Well, I can't hear what you're saying, but I'm assuming that you can. It's amazing what our minds go through and what we do. I grew up at 801 10th Avenue, Fulton, Illinois, 61252. And our phone number was 815-589-2146. Now, here I am, a significant number of years later. But that is just as clear as a bell. And maybe something that you'll never forget. Now, I kind of joke around a little bit with Bob and Jeannie because they've had that same phone number there at the house on Wilcox that I mean, whether they moved or they didn't move, that number always remained the same, the 619. 222-6068. And boy, they've had that number for such a long time. But you know, these memories, they get etched in our brains, whether they're recent, many years ago, to a point that good chance that they're never going to leave. So I titled my teaching tonight, "You Have a New Address." And I shared last time when we were together that before we can walk or stand, we must first sit. So tonight I'm going to continue on with that process. But before I do get into the depth of the teaching, I want to play a song that I think will bless you as you hear it. And you can tell me what you think later, okay?
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell him,
thanks to Calvary,
I don't come here anymore.
Thanks to Calvary,
I am not the man that I used to be. Things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them,
thanks to Calvary,
we don't come here
anymore.
Then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, oh little boy, don't be afraid, because You've got a brand new daddy now.
Thanks to Calvary.
We don't live here. That I used to be.
Thanks to Calvary,
things are different than before. Joe, while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell my little boy. I said, son, thanks to Calvary. We don't live here. No, thank God, we don't live here anymore.
Beautiful. Boy, amen. We got a new address. We don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary. And boy, that's quite a statement. I started last time by sharing Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and following. That's like where I'd like to start tonight. Ephesians 1, 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And also in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory in it. God made him to sit, and he made us to sit with him. When we consider and have considered the implications of the word sit, it reveals the secret of a heavenly life. Christianity does not begin with walking. It begins with sitting. I'm reading from a really awesome little book by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand, The Process of Christian Maturity. The Christian era began with Christ, of whom we are told that when he had made purification of sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. With equal truth, we can say that the individual Christian life begins with a man in Christ. That is to say, when by faith we see ourselves seated together with him in the heavens. If I were to put a dollar bill between the pages of a magazine and then burn the magazine, where is the dollar bill? Well, logically, it's gone the same way as the magazine, to ashes. So where the one goes, the other goes too. Their history has become one. But just as effectively, God has put us in Christ. What happened to him happened also to us. All the experiences he met, we too have met in him. According to Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. That's not an exhortation to struggle. That is history. That's our history. Written in Christ even before we were born. Do you believe it? It's true. Our crucifixion with Christ is a glorious historic fact. Our deliverance from sin is based not on what we can do, nor even on what God is going to do for us, but on what He has already done for us in Christ. When that fact dawns upon us and we rest back upon it, then we have found the secret of a holy life. But it is true that we know all too little of this in experience. Consider this as an example. If someone makes a very unkind remark about you in your presence, how do you meet the situation? You compress your lips, clench your teeth, swallow hard, and take a firm grip upon yourself. And if with a great effort you manage to suppress all sign of resentment and be reasonably polite in return, you feel you have gained a great victory. But the resentment is still there. It has merely been covered up. And at times, you do not even succeed at covering up. What's the trouble? The trouble is, you are trying to walk before you have sat down. In that way lies sure defeat. Let me repeat, no Christian experience begins with walking, but always with a definite sitting down. The secret of deliverance from sin is not to do something, but to rest on what God has done. And I will include in the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought Bob did a wonderful job last night sharing that the work has already been done. It's really not a lot for us to do. We do our best to put on the things of God, and they let God lead the way, open the doors, walk down the path. And, you know, it was, he kind of reiterated that teaching he did, it's been a few weeks ago, about doing nothing. And many times that's when we get to the end of our strength that God really goes to work. So that's a good one to remember. The secret of deliverance from sin is not to do something, but to rest on what God has done. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, again, remember my teaching title is, You Have a New Address. Well, you know what? According to Ephesians 2:19, it says, So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You have a new address. It's seated in the heavenlies. It's 101 Heaven Avenue or something. I don't know. You make up your own address, but you have a new address. When you got born again, you shifted. You may have a physical address where you live, but spiritually, you've got a new daddy, just like that song said. And our address is permanent in heaven. We have, for lack of a better word, we have eternal security. We know where we're going. And it's going to be far beyond anything that we can even dream or think about. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 kind of reiterates this truth. It says, For our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we can remember the address maybe of the home that we grew up in and our old phone number, but by golly, you know what? Our address has changed. We got a new address. It's seated in the heavenlies, with God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I kind of like to wrap up this sharing tonight, reading a story with you called The Lost Sailboat. Once there was a little boy who made a toy sailboat. He carefully carved the hull from a block of wood and painted it blue. Then he fitted it with a mast and sails, and when it was finished, he decided to try it on the lake in the city park. Oh, it was a beautiful day. The boy tied a cord to the front of the boat and he set it down in the water. The wind caught the sail and hurried the boat away. But soon the boat came to the end of the cord, but a puff of the wind blew so hard that the cord broke and the boat sailed away towards the far side of the lake. The boy cried, but the boat was gone. Several months later, as the little boy was walking through the city streets, he passed a pawn shop, and there in the window was his sailboat. It was scratched and dirty, and the sails were torn, but it was definitely his own boat. Someone had found the boat and sold it to the pawn shop owner, and now it had a price tag of $2 on it. The boy hurried home, gathered up all his money. He hurried back to the shop, and he bought the boat. He took it home, he cleaned it, and he gave it a fresh coat of paint and a new sail. And then as he looked happily at it, he said, "Little boat, you are twice mine. I made you and I bought you." Hey, what an interesting and beautiful illustration of exactly what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty of your word and how simple truth can just be such a blessing that it does just penetrate right down into the depth of who we are. And what does it bring about? It brings about transformation. And you, Lord, are the great transformer. And we just want to lay it all down with you, Father, and say, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. God bless you guys.